If you open your workbooks there or your study guide, and we're going to go over the questions for this week and in preparation for the lesson this week. So I'm not going to ask a show of hand how many of you did it, but I guess we'll find out how the answers went. So, notice number one, the question for Monday's assignment, so we're on page number four, is according to Genesis 1, 26 through 27, when God created man, what responsibility did he intend men to fulfill? Okay? Yes, Jenny? Okay, all right. So he appointed man to be stewards of all his possessions, everything that God created, and he appointed him to be a steward over that. All right, good. Tuesday, read Isaiah 53, 6. Where has man turned because of his sinfulness? Yeah, their own way. Okay, now think about that. We are to be the stewards of God's creation, but as we think about humanity in general, every man has turned to his own way. Okay, on Wednesday, what phrase in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 expresses the responsibility man has to accomplish God's work? Okay, so the expression to use is we're co-laborers together with Christ. All right, good. On Thursday, according to Psalm 24, 1, what belongs to the Lord? All right, the earth and everything in it. All right, good. Let's see here. We're on Friday. Read Genesis 3, 8 through 9. After Adam and Eve sinned, how did they respond toward God, and how did God respond to them? Okay, they hid. And how did God respond to them? Okay, he sought them out. All right, good. And last question. In the parable given in Luke 16, 1 and 2, the steward was called to give an account of what? His stewardship. All right, good. All right, good. So that was good. So, you know, appreciate your reading over. I hope that was a help, kind of give us an understanding as we come to this lesson. So let's begin talking, and this is kind of an introductory lesson this morning to speak on the subject of stewardship. Now, a lot of times, people think, well, stewardship, we're talking about money. Well, actually, we're going to find out, hopefully, in this lesson that actually money has very little to do with stewardship. It's one aspect of it, and actually a very small part of it. But let's begin here. If you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 1. Now, I know on Sunday mornings we've been preaching through the book of Genesis, but here in Genesis chapter number 1, God begins the subject of stewardship in the very first chapter of the Bible, and we answer that question. And so let's read a portion of Scripture here, and then we'll discuss it. So notice Genesis chapter number 1. We'll begin reading in verse number 24. Okay, Genesis 1, verse 24. We'll read down to verse 31. The Bible says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and every thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every living thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Now, we see here where stewardship begins. Typically when the word stewardship is mentioned, most people think of money. But money is only one expression of our stewardship. Stewardship actually involves all of our response to God, all of life. That's what stewardship is. So we have to always remember that stewardship is about every area of our lives. The series is the stewardship of life. That speaks to every aspect of life. There is nothing that you and I could imagine that stewardship does not include. And I hope that when we, go through this lesson, that we'll get an understanding. But here in Genesis chapter 1, we find God's original intent. This is the way that God intended life to be. Now, again, we've talked about other passages. Humanity, okay, and we can include all of us in it, we have rebelled against God. In other words, we have gone our own way, as we read. The psalmist says in Psalm 51:5, "In sin did my mother conceive me." So he mentions that the sinful nature was passed down to him. And by the way, children are born with a sinful nature, a natural bent to do wrong. And if you have children, as I do, you understand that. You never teach a child how to lie. You never say, "Hey, Johnny, let me teach you how to lie." No, they just do those things automatically. They are naturally bent to do the wrong thing. And so we not only sin by nature, because it is our nature, because it is where we sin because of our conception, but we also sin by choice. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And so we learn that we are not only sinners by conception, by nature, but also we're sinners by choice. We live by our devices, by our own desires. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So as we think about the stewardship of life, God gave man a responsibility to do things. He says, "Have dominion over everything that I've created." He gave them within that, in the creation, a law. He says, "Don't do that." And so man chose to rebel against God's design and God's will for his life. And so he decided to rebel against that stewardship, where God places a responsibility to man and says, "This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to avoid." And so we see here that what is it that brings us back to a place of proper stewardship? And that is, we have to be born again. That's where it begins, the Christian life. All things are become new when we become Christians, and so therefore our perspective changes. You see, before salvation, we were living for our own selves. We were living to our own devices. We were living our life, we could say, in a rat race. But God gives us now a new purpose and helps us to understand the stewardship of life. What God expects of those who have been reconciled to Him is that we follow His intended plan from the beginning, just as He gave it in the Garden of Eden. Now, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And the Lord will enable us to live a life of stewardship to Him. Now, let me explain, and these are some three truths, and they should be in your notes there, and so you can follow along. There in your notes you have the three points. But notice number one, as we look into this lesson, first of all, we see that God has created us to be co-laborers with Him. God has created us to be co-laborers with Him. The verse for that is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, and we mentioned that in the questions this morning, where the Bible says, notice, "For we are laborers together with God." Now, that's interesting. We're laboring together with God. This verse reveals for us God's purpose. God has created us to be co-laborers with Him. Now, think about that. That's pretty significant, that we are laboring together with God. You know, you think about the creation of this world and all that God did. He said to man, He invited man to be with Him and to say, "All right, this is what I've created. This is my will, this is my direction, and you can come with me in that." So this verse reveals again God's purpose. The Christian life is not to be live a little better than this world. It is to be completely different. We have been restored to Him through salvation, and we are reconciled to Him. He is our Father, we are His children, He is our Creator, and we have to recognize that He has created us to be laborers together with Him. Think about that for a moment, because that gives purpose in life. If you take God, the Bible, and stewardship out of life, then what are you left with? To yourself, that's it. And really in life today, and look, I am for working hard, and I enjoy vacations, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But that, if that's all that there is to life, it's quite empty. It's quite empty. Because guess what? Well, one day you get too old to work, and you get too old to go on vacations. And if that's all there is to life, it's quite empty. But so there's more to that. God has created us again to be co-laborers with Him. Now in Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, we read here the portion where He says that God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after His kind, cattle and creeping thing and the beast of the earth and after His kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after His kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after His kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. So again, we talked about this word dominion. God made us so that we can communicate with Him and so that He can communicate with us. We know from the beginning that's the way it was. God communicated to Adam what He wanted to do. Adam did that, and Adam reported and said, I've done what You wanted me to do. So God's original intent in creating man was that man would accomplish what God wanted to be done in this world. Do we understand that? That God did not create man to say, all right, you're left to yourself, do what you want. No, He says, I created you, and this is what I want you to do. So there is a responsibility, there's an accountability, there is a stewardship. Which brings me to the mind a man by the name of Matthew Morey. He died in 1873, and so it's quite a while now, but 40 years before he died, he was in a stagecoach accident and was crippled for the rest of his life. Now, think about that. I think it's good that we enjoy to be able to walk around, and many things happen that cripple us, that makes us more grateful for, Brandon, I'm sure now more than ever you're more grateful than food than ever before. Because he can't eat. He's got to either suck in a straw or mash the food and eat it. When you lose something, you become more grateful for it. The ability to walk, the ability to physically work and things like that. Well, I was thinking, Rob, when you had the surgery, there's things that made you to where you weren't able to do certain things. And that makes you grateful for your health, He was saying, we were laughing when we were talking to Rob at his house. He was saying, there was this 80-year-old man walking by me, and he's, out walking me, and I'm here over here walking, and I'm exhausted because of, his heart. And so those things help us realize life, how precious life is, and the fact that at any moment, at any time, things can happen that can cripple us. Well, Matthew Morey was crippled by a stagecoach accident. Now, Mr. Morey was greatly interested in oceanography, and he read the following Psalm 8, verse 1 through 9. Let me read that and see what he got out of it. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all of the earth. How hast Thou set Thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy of the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the works of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the fish, over the works of Thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatever passeth through the paths of the seas. Now, as a true Christian, Matthew Morey read this expression, the paths of the seas. And it opened his understanding to the fact that there were paths in the seas, just as there are rivers through the land. Those rivers are really roads that people traveled on, waterways by which people moved from one place to another. That's why many of the cities were built close to rivers, because they would travel that way. Most early cities were built along rivers because those rivers were the first roadways and highways in the land. However, Morey understood from the Bible that the seas, God had designed pathways in the seas. When he first began to work with this, to go from California to New York, and by the way, by water, which would be either probably south, it took 187 days from California to New York by sea. But this man discovered paths in the sea based upon what he saw in God's Word. He saw the currents that God had created. He began to explore where those currents were. His background, by the way, was as a naval officer. He aided in his discovery of those currents. He mapped the seas just as one would map land. By mapping the seas, he enabled shipping vessels to take those paths in the seas, and the time from California to New York was reduced from 187 days to 110 days. Now think about that. Just from reading the Word of God, which prompted a thought, you know, someone might stand back and say, that's amazing. He was an amazing man, a crippled man for the last 40 years of his life. And we would say, well, that's an amazing mind. But more than an amazing man and more than an amazing mind, he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who recognized that God created us to be laborers together with Him. And that his task was to discover what God was doing and what He had done in this world. Think about that. This is how he discovered the paths of the seas. You see, he could have said, well, my life is over. I can't do anything else. I'm crippled. No, he was still a steward, wasn't he? And by the way, he was a good steward because he discovered something that changed humanity. You see, God desires to visit with us, to guide us, to show us His way, to give us His understanding, and to let us know what He is doing in this world. He wants to engage us to be laborers together with Him. Now think for a moment how this magnifies the work that we do when we come to understand that we are laboring together with God. It makes what we do that much more valuable, that much more important. If you go with me to Matthew chapter 25, let's go there. Jesus Christ is teaching on the subject of stewardship. And let's just look at a few verses here in Matthew chapter 25 and begin reading in verse number 15. Matthew 25, 15. By the way, there are many things in God's Word that have been discovered by scientists in the last 100 years that were, you know, not believed for centuries. You know, the fact that the earth was circular, you know, was round. That was something that you used to believe the earth was flat. Well, what happened? Well, you read the Word of God and you gain that understanding. Matthew 25, 15, notice, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, I have a question here. What is the joy of the Lord? You've been faithful in these areas. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But notice what he says between that. He says, you were faithful in a little, and I'm going to make you ruler over many things. So the joy of the Lord is more work. God says, I've given you this responsibility. You did well in your stewardship. Therefore, I'm going to give you more. Now you're going to be a steward over more. You will have more opportunity, a greater responsibility, if you would. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. In other words, it's us understanding that life is more than just us living our lives and dying. There is a stewardship. There are responsibilities that God has for us in every area of our lives, and God wants us to fulfill those responsibilities and enter into that joy. You see, the man works and invests the talents and enlarges the investment. God does not say to him, now go over there and sit down and rest. He doesn't say that. God said to him, now you have more work to do. You see, laboring together with God encourages us to labor even more with God. There's more for us to do. You see, when we prove to be faithful in one area, He enlarges our stewardship so that we work in more areas with Him. You see, this principle will change our view of possessions. I really believe it will. Why do you have a job? Why do I have a job? Why do you have a house? Why do you have health? Why do you have friends with whom you associate yourself with? This is all-encompassing. Everything is involved in the stewardship of life. Romans 14:7 says this, "No man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." You see, we are laborers together with God. This is the foundation of the stewardship of life. So we see again, number one in your notes there, God has created us to be co-laborers with Him. Number two, we see that God has made us stewards over His possessions. Let me make this statement. We own nothing. So, no. What do you mean? I have a car. I have a house. I have things in my house that belong to me. And I think we understand that when we say, well, these are my children, and this is my house, and this is what belongs to me. But really, we don't own anything. Why? Because when we die, those things are somebody else's. Or those things decay to the place where we see no use for them any longer. Now, we understand, according to the Bible, that everything belongs to God. And that's really how we ought to see everything, that everything belongs to God. Genesis 1:26 says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Well, who is it that created all those things? It was God. So it belongs to God. God made this world and said, "I put you in it. What are you going to do with it?" You have a responsibility for your life. You see, we should desire to do what God has designed to be done. We ought to have that desire. If you think about this example, what is God's design for men, women, and marriage? What is God's design? Well, if we study the Word of God, we come to an understanding of that. We're stewards. What is God's design with children? Did you know that being the right kind of husband or wife and understanding the institution of marriage is a part of our stewardship? The fact that you are parents and understanding what the Bible teaches about parenthood is a part of stewardship. You know, a father that says, well, I really don't have time to be a father to my children and invest in them, such a man is sinning against the stewardship that God has given him. Why? Because it's a responsibility. Doesn't the Bible says that the children are a heritage of the Lord? And the fruit of the womb is his reward. So therefore, a father that neglects that stewardship is sinning against the stewardship of his life. There's a responsibility there. A steward is one who is in charge of the possessions of another. The Lord is the possessor and man is the steward. You know, throughout the Word of God, God reminds us of that. Even when he said to man, "You have dominion over everything." Throughout the Word of God, God constantly reminds man of the fact that it all belongs to Him. Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." So not only the world, but we belong to God too. We're His creation. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days." You see, God gave us days, and they're His days, aren't they? Because He's the one that gives them to us. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." So think about it. Not only are we ourselves stewards of God, we have responsibilities and we're stewards over many things, but think about it. Even a day is God's day. And we are stewards of that particular day, of that particular hour. You see, what we do with each day is part of our stewardship. There's 24 hours a day. There is 168 hours during a week, and during those times, we are His stewards. You see, when our minds run to money, as we mention stewardship, we are only considering a very menial and small part of the matter of stewardship. If the stewardship of life is settled, then everything else in life will be settled. You see, understand the stewardship of life as a whole, not just heirs, because we like to think then and say, well, I'm a good steward in this area and in this area, but you know, I don't worry about those areas. No, it's the stewardship of life, every area of life. There's a London newspaper that put the following question in the newspaper for a number of weeks and asked people to give a response. And this was the question, what is the definition of money? Okay, so they offered a very handsome prize of money to the person who submitted the best definition of money. And here was the winning answer. Money is an article which, let me read it right here. Money is an article which may be used as a universal passport everywhere except heaven and a universal provider for everything except happiness. That was the winning definition. In other words, money can get you anywhere except heaven and buy you everything except happiness. You see, money is most valuable when it is recognized as something that God has placed in our hands, because He gives us power to gain wealth and to use it for His glory. And so again, we think about stewardship in the area of money, but think about we speak of things that we in this world as mine. Well, this is my house. This is my time. These are my kids. However, God has designed that we be stewards of His possessions. Where do you work? Where do you work? What do you do for a living? And I'm sure we could ask many people, and there would be different things. I'm in the ministry. Okay? How many of you would like to mention where you work? Where do you work, brother? Newcastle County Government. Brother Wagner? Nemours and FedEx. All right. Anybody else? Yes. State Farm. Insurance. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, Rob. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Where do you work? So, there's all kinds of different people that work in different areas. And we think about, well, this is my job. However, God has designed that we be stewards of wherever we are. Whatever our responsibility is with our job, whatever house, and all of our houses are different, we work, all of those things, whether we work in a factory, whether we work in the ministry, we are stewards of the opportunities that we have. We're stewards. There is a responsibility that God has particularly for us in the matter of stewardship. So we see, number two, that God has made us stewards of His possessions. And that's important. And I understand when we say, well, this is my car, when we say that it's mine, it's not yours. These are my children, they're mine, they're not yours. We understand that, but we always have to have the perspective, you know, because I treat children differently from my own children, okay? I speak in a way to my children, I will not speak to any other children, you know? And I tell my children to do certain things because why? They're my children, I understand that. But a higher responsibility we have to have, okay? That's how we talk amongst each other. When we say, well, this is mine, we separate ourselves from ourselves, but we have to have a greater perspective and say, you know what? It all belongs to God. God has given me those children. God has given me this house. God has given me those possessions, and I have a responsibility to God for those things. We see number three, God will bring it all into account. In other words, there's a reckoning day that's coming. In Genesis chapter 3, we know when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. God came to them, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in Genesis 3:8 in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? That's a good question. He knew where they were. But it would seem that the Lord declares this, I'm the Creator God who created you to labor with me. I am your God who made you in my image so that you could communicate and work together. I put you in this world. I created it and made you the steward over all my possessions. Now, what have you done with this stewardship? There's a reckoning day. You see, they had to answer, we have not been good stewards. You know, Luke chapter 16, verse 1 says this, and he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I heard this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. Give an account. You know, just the idea that we are stewards means that there's a reckoning day. I mean, can you imagine if you had entrusted someone with your finances and your investments and your portfolio? You don't just say, all right, take it and I'll never see you again. That's not how you are. You're like, just so you know, I'm coming back. And you better handle my money right, because I put you in charge of my possessions. And so we treat someone like that and we say, all right, I'm coming back. You're going to give account. Make sure you handle my finances, my investments, all of those things in the right way. And we place those things in trust, understanding that they know that we're going to have them give an account one day, whether they handle those things right or not. It's the same with God. By virtue that we are stewards in this world, God says, you're going to give an account because you're a steward. I've placed those things in your hand. You have an opportunity, and you're going to give an account of your stewardship. Which reminds me, in the book, there was an illustration. John Wanamaker grew up as a boy in Philadelphia. And he was a dedicated church-going, God-fearing boy. One of John Wanamaker's earlier projects was to provide a brake-paved street outside of his pastor's church. The people said, we have this old muddy place, and young Wanamaker gathered all of the money and bricks he could make, and he made sure that he did it right. His pastor was so thrilled. Young John was devoted to the Lord and to his pastor. Later, at the height of his business career, John Wanamaker had the largest merchandising company in America. He was a benefactor to such Christian causes, such as, at the time, the YMCA, which has changed quite a bit since then, the ministry of D.L. Moody, and many others. He even served the nation as the Postmaster General of the United States of America. When he was offered the position of Postmaster General for the United States of America, he said this, "The only way I can take the job is if I can remain as the Sunday school teacher for my class in the church in Philadelphia." He said, "I believe God wants me to serve my country, but part of my stewardship is also to keep my Sunday school class." Now think about that. There is a stewardship. Yes, I want to serve my country in this area, but I have a greater stewardship, and that is my stewardship to God. You see, he was the Sunday school superintendent for that church for 57 years. You see, stewardship involves much more than money. It involves all of our being, all of our life, being yielded to him. One of these days, we are going to give an account for our stewardship. And we have to understand that stewardship is about all of life. All of life. We can either choose to say, you know what, Lord, I want to make the most of my stewardship of my time here. Or we can neglect it and waste it. And we see that, by the way, illustrated by our Lord Jesus Christ many times throughout the gospel records of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, particularly to speak to the disciples of the importance of their life, how valuable it is, and how the fact that they're going to give an account one day, and for them to make the most of their life while they're on this earth. And what this does, it gives us direction in life. It helps us find out and say, all right, God, what do you want me to do? How can I make most of this opportunity that I have? Now, we just started the Sunday school class. And there's different teachers. We have a rotating schedule, have different teachers. And so you are a steward now of that Sunday school class to teach children. And you're going to give an account for that stewardship. The Lord led me to this place and brought this church together. And I am the pastor of the church, and I'm going to give an account for that. And that's a serious thing. You see, it's not something that we neglect and we take lightly. It is something that we're going to give an account. But not just for the pastor or the Sunday school teacher. It's for every area of our life. You know, certain people have different talents and abilities. And I believe that these things can be used, that God gives us to use those things in this world to provide for ourselves money. But also God has given us talents and abilities to use it for his glory. You know, it's just the fact. Some people some people are better at common sense than other people. people have different abilities, and God has given us abilities, talents, money, opportunity, children, whatever you fit in there, every area of life, not only for us and for our benefit, but also for his glory and for his purpose in this world. And so may the Lord help us to understand the stewardship of life.